Welcome to Redeeming Qualities, the podcast. Now, you know what? I need a lot more energy than that because we've been gone for a long fucking time.
Let me
I need to do like some Tibetan monk-like voice training real quick. Hum-ba-da-hum. Welcome to Redeeming Qualities, the podcast of not how men speak, but how friends speak. I'm joined today with Mark.
What's up?
And of course, I'm Fez. And so it's been a long time since we've been talking, and news, the world has changed since September of this year immensely. So yes. I think the biggest thing is obviously the Kanye West stuff. So before Kanye West was anti-Semitic, before he was doing like calling out all these companies, we were talking about how, you know, how we thought he was super, like he was a visionary. He was always thinking steps ahead. And everybody was talking about his Balenciaga deal and how that fell through. And now Balenciaga has the whole child pedophile, child sex trafficking nods in their advertisements.
Yes.
And my God.
Like, so wait. Of course I want to talk about Kanye. Of course I'm going to get into Kanye. Yes. There's other things. I just want to say, one, Danny's not here today. He's, you know, saying busy. He's going to be coming back. Can't wait till we can have him back on. Things have changed in our lives too. You know, you can cut this out if you want. Let's just be real, but you're out of the Marine Corps now.
I'm done. I finished.
Thank you. Like
I hit the finish line.
That's the cool shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Immediately us right now. You were in a different walking light. You're a free man.
I have a beard. I got a belly, a bigger belly. I've always had a belly, but I got a little bit bigger of one. And I got to tell you, I don't have animosity or anything. I'm not like effing them out. But it felt like, you know, it was like a holding your breath competition. Like, I felt like I was doing great, but towards the end, I was struggling for air. I had to be done. And it was a wonderful ride, but my goodness, it's weird when you get out because it's like, you don't realize how much of your personality is your career.
Right.
And once that career is over, who are you left with? You know what I'm saying? And so that's where I was. I was out. I was like, who am I now? What am I? You know, like my wife is the breadwinner. I'm taking care of our kids. So I really had to like readjust to my role, like, and you know, what my expectation as the breadwinner was for her. I kind of said, you know what? I need to flip those.
As a man in 2022, as a human, but also as a man, it's just like, okay, this is my situation. I've been the rugged guy in boots. I'm in flip-flops now. I got an apron on. Who am I? There's this funny dude. He's a comedian, and I'm not trying to take away. We're going to keep on going what you're talking about, but he's a hilarious comedian. He's been on Don't Tell and stuff, and he tells this joke. He says, this is my impression of a Italian mobster that just did shrooms. And he's like, what am I?
That's pretty
what
good.
Am I? And he's like, what am I? Guy with spaghetti fingers? What am I? He starts going all, it's really silly. So that you have, it's an existential, not even crisis, just like you're stepping out, you walk out, and then they're just like, all right, you go. And then you're really free out here. You're not wearing a uniform. Nobody can say shit to you. And you're just floating, man. But you're not, it's not like, but also you're still on a path because you're in school. So you're still like on your thing, but still it's like your schedule is yours.
That is the craziest part. And the saddest part about like what you just said, the schedule's mine. I structured my day around my Marine Corps day. It was like, hey, take the kids to school, get to work, start with emails. I start with emails. All right. top three personal things I need to get done today and top three work things I need to get done today. So I give myself, like, I literally task myself like I would be tasked, because that feels comfortable to me still.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
that. And then it's like, once all those are done, it's all free time from there.
Right.
And that feels, it feels good. Like I said, it's not like it's, oh man, I just lost my train of thought. It's not like it's really like that much different. Like my day's super structured, but it is nice not, you know, like shaving. When I go running and I am slower, I'm not stressed about, hey, I need to be at like 22 minute 3 mile. So like right. when I run like a, you know, like I could run a 35 minute 3 mile and I'm just, hey, I got out there and I did it today. And that is a better feeling than
cruising,
I failed.
Listening to a podcast, maybe.
Yeah.
Vibing.
Or, yeah, my knees are hurting a little bit. Let me slow it down. Like, yeah. like slowing down was never an allowed thought.
Or
in my
head. You needed to, you had done things in your mind to say, hey, ignore the pain. I have to keep going or slow. I cannot slow down. Slowing down is a negative right now. And it can't be a thing to, oh, maybe let me nurse pain right now mm-hmm. in the middle of it. Your relationship with how you can treat your body and treat your mind and treat your day is going to change. Still, it's going to ever be changing. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Like I step, like today, I'll step on the scale. I'm 222, right?
Mm-hmm,
that's way too big. I couldn't be 222. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to tape at this weight. I step on the scale at 222. I'm like, okay, I can improve, but I don't have to improve. And that's a very free feeling as well. Like I was trapped in this like never ending loop of, I gotta be losing weight. I gotta be doing this. And that was just background stress, subconscious stress all the time. And that's gone. So that's a nice, nice thing that's there.
Yeah. Dude, you know, they give people eating disorders in the Marine Corps, man. They don't even realize. Motherfuckers be throwing up, you know, these guys that are just built broadly. You know, these guys were going to be big guys, maybe not fat, but they just were going to have broad shoulders and are built a certain way, are tortured the whole time. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like you end up being looked at as this complete piece of shit, even though you're very competent. And now you got to eat tuna for 7 days. And they're not exactly saying, I mean, yeah, there's whole dietitians there that they'll send you to and then the BCP program. But the idea of stepping on the scale all the time, even though your body could be building healthy muscle while you're burning fat, and then that could be messing your weight up, and like, you know, the whole process of that, it's so unhealthy and so bad, and it's just it's so behind in the thoughts on it, and we, you know, the way we do scales, it really yeah. isn't helping us know what's going on in our body or whether we're becoming more healthy or not.
and the reality is Americans are getting bigger, but that standard remains the same. So the food that was available in 1950 wasn't going to make you overweight. So you weren't going to have the issue in the Marine Corps
mm-hmm.
or the Army or the Air Force. The food in the 90s, people started struggling. The food in 2022, man, it is, if you're not cooking and like making a conscious effort to eat right, you can't go to a restaurant and order a meal and be okay. Or like go to the store, buy something off the shelf. That is literally the enemy of your career.
And people do not have cooking things. Most yeah. kids in the barracks don't have a microwave.
Well, that's all they have. That's all they have is a microwave. So yeah, that's it. And that's what it is. So yeah. Like I said,
this wasn't supposed to be a you know, food relationship conversation, but overall, I just meant in general, you know,
I'm not going to discount that. My relationship with the Marine Corps was also directly affected my relationship with food.
There we go.
They were at odds. Like mm-hmm. And you know, it's nice to see like outside the Marine Corps, and you know, like I said, like some people like seek other ways to cope. I don't think I was a food coping person, but I was a social eater. I like to go out and eat with friends, and I'd get a big old burger and get a plate and fries, and that was my alcohol, that was my thing. So that's always been a little struggle for me. So, it is, they are related for me.
Well, yeah, and then overall, just the way you treat your day or who you are, what kind of music you even listen to, or like where you're at in mind. Like, I don't realize how many times I was. It's crazy. We flew drones. How long I was just droning along. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, I had an album I was listening to and just kept in that routine and just playing or whatever. I'm just saying, like, everything in life, when you just, you got this whole time to step and, like, you know, you may get an eyebrow ring or something weird, dude. That's what I did.
That's another thing. Dude, my music taste has changed even very recently. So I'm like, I'm more mellow. I want to listen to more mellow music. I am, you know, like when I'm running or working out, I don't need like the Slipknot weightlifting channel. I can listen to a podcast while I lift, and it's like, oh, this is different.
What a different state. What's going on with your brain waves? Yeah. You know, that, but you're still doing the same work. Maybe you're working out. Maybe you're getting more out of your workout because you're doing that rather than like, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if it's the culture. I don't know if it's a lot, but removing myself from that, you know, it's really just been like a part, like there's no part of me that's like, you know, one foot in, one foot out. It was 100% out. Like, not anything to do, like I said, and I have nothing against the Marine Corps, and I have nothing against the Marines. It was just for me. It was that part of my, that chapter of my life had to be over. It was becoming, getting to be difficult to be in anymore. I really want to talk about Kanye.
Let's get into it. Let's get into it right at the bat.
So you're probably a little bit more in the know because you have a little bit more social media than I do. And so really a lot of, okay, so let's be real. During this time that, you know, we haven't been doing the podcast, you've been sending me all the Kanye stuff. So you would send talk to me about something and then I'd watch it. And that's kind of how it.
Yeah. I look at, okay, specifically Kanye is this whole figure, but we're in a weird time. We're acknowledging how big these social media things are. They're as strong. There's such a strong resource. They're as powerful as the news, if not more powerful. You know what I'm saying? And advertisers spend billions of dollars with them. There's an incredible amount of eyes on it, okay? And it can change the story of things. Podcasts, you know what I'm saying? Podcasts get more views than news on days. They get more views than The View. They get more views than Good Morning America. Joe Rogan does. They get more views than all these things. So these platforms are humongous. Okay. Kanye has gone, and there's a spectrum. All right. There's left and right, if we're gonna be real. Or you can go, there's science and then culture, whichever way you want to do it, however you want to look at it. I haven't mapped it out correctly, but Kanye has gone on a whole tour of podcasts lately, okay? The first one that he went on that started a whole lot of shit was Drink Champs. Drink Champs is on a platform called Revolt, which is owned by Diddy, okay? So let's start off that. Completely hip-hop. It is DJ AFN and Noriega. I don't know if you remember, but he made like a bunch of cool-ass music back in like the 90s and early 2000s. He's a beast, and he's like a hip-hop pioneer. He brought like reggaeton here and also just a bunch of East Coast stuff. He brings legendary rappers on all the time, okay? So Kanye comes on. He comes on, and first he does a first Drink Champs, and he talks, and he's kind of talking crazy, saying some things, right? Well, then he gets on Twitter, and he gets on Twitter one night, and he's, oh, my fault. It starts with New York Fashion Week in Paris. My fault.
Oh, that's right. The White Lives Matter t-shirt.
Yes.
Then he's like, okay, you guys want to like laugh?
Wait, let me do this offer. White Lives Matter all goes down. All
right.
White Lives Matter comes out. He's standing next to Candace Owens.
Yep.
All this crazy stuff goes, all hell breaks loose. He's trying to make some conversation about that. Okay. Everyone's yelling at him. People are saying, we're done with Kanye. It is disgusting. Kanye hates black. Kanye's anti-black is what they first, that's the first thing they say. Kanye's anti-black. So then before he goes to bed, he's defending himself and saying all these things. And then he said, I'm sleepy right now, but before I go to sleep, I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jews. And the funny thing is, I can't be anti-Semitic because I'm Hebrew. And then he's asleep. He doesn't even say anything else. By the time he wakes up, his Twitter's gone. Okay. He's also going ham with all these other, he's going super ham with all these people in the fashion industry that I didn't even hear about. Okay. Already on pins and needles is getting crazy. He gets on, we're all like, Kanye, what the fuck? Drink Noriega says, we got Kanye on Drink Champs. Drink Champs gets like a million, 2 million downloads. It's the black version of Joe Rogan. It has that many views. It has that many like listeners, and it has that culture over there. Okay, so they bring Kanye on. Kanye gets on and says they didn't kill George Floyd. George Floyd died from a fentanyl overdose. That's not a complete verbatim, but he says that. And then he also talks about Jews over and over again. He talks about how his wife got taken from him and his family got taken from him because of the Jewish media. He consistently brings up Jewish media. It says a whole bunch of things. It was a insane interview, and not even the craziest thing that has happened so far. Okay, so since then, everybody's been like, yo, Kanye is crazy. What is up? This whole conversation about anti-Semitism is going on. Do you want to talk right here? Would you like to start the conversation here? Because I don't know if you've heard anything about this Alex Jones interview yet, because that's where we're at now. And things are insane.
Oh, my God. He went on an Alex Jones interview?
The Alex Jones interview is the best, biggest thing that has happened in culture thus far. It is the craziest interview ever.
I'm going to need a link from you. I haven't seen that yet. So
it is 3 hours long. So, Kanye, it looks like a villain. He has a mask on. It's scary, honestly.
Okay, so we get to that part. So all this stuff happens. He does the Noriega, and then Adidas drops him, and Balenciaga drops him, and all this other stuff. I want to kind of go take a tangent.
Okay, please. What's up?
This is my favorite part about this. The Kanye thing is, so everyone's like, when are you going to drop Ye? Ye said anti-Semitic stuff. Ye did this. Ye did that. Uh-huh. Everybody dropped him so hard, right?
Yes, yes. And
here's, to me, the biggest hypocrisy. Balenciaga is out there promoting pedophilia nonsense. They have the court documents that reference changing pedophile to something else. They have people like this books that like
child
show, like,
sex child is sex part act. Of the protected and under the Free Speech Act. Yeah, it's free crazy.
How is anti-Semitism worse than child pornography? Why is the outcry against Kanye West, who's saying I'm Jewish, and I don't know, I'm not going to say the relevance of what he's saying is right or wrong, but he's out there saying I'm Jewish, so I can't be anti-Semitic, and these people are screwing me over. How is that worse than people promoting?
It's very eerie, because it seems like if you're on the left, if you're on the right, you are anti-Semitic. If you are on the left, you are okay with pedophilia. That is what it seems like right now. Very broad, but yeah. those are the tones. When I talk to none of the left-sided people say anything about pedophilia, they dismiss it whenever you bring it up. If you talk to the right, but they are constantly calling the other side anti-Semitic. You know what I'm saying? If you're on the other side, they are saying a bunch of racist things sometimes, or things that are dog whistles, and then they are calling the other side pedophiles. It is wild, dude. And nobody's addressing either. And we're still sending money to Ukraine, who has a whole battalion of neo-Nazis. Did you know that? They have a battalion of 900 neo-Nazis. The Azov. Did you know that?
So if we're not talking about the pinnacle of anti-Semitism, that means that the entire government is supporting an army of Nazis. That
Azov is straight up neo-Nazis.
I got to tell you, thank you for bringing that to me because I was not aware of this.
Dude.
So awesome. Yeah. That's just like, I'm over here. Like, you can't even see me just squeezing my fist in the like, yes meme. Like, I'm like, oh, that is so just ironically hilarious. It's like, dude, it's terrible.
Okay. I have to say, you haven't seen it, but things are crazy right now.
Go ahead. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. Tell me. Tell me what he's
saying. Kanye straight up says, "I like Hitler."
Oh my Jesus.
He says, "I like Hitler."
Well,
Hitler has done some great things.
To be fair, Danny did shit or shine Hitler.
Yes. He straight up says, "I like Hitler." He says, "I like Hitler," and then Alex Jones is like, whoa, what do you mean? Clarify.
Holy cow. Alex Jones is the voice of reason.
Thank you.
I now have got to see this in its entire.
So he keeps on, do you know who Netanyahu is?
So wasn't he the, like, Israel
Yes, I think
guy?
He's the prime minister of prime Israel.
Back when I was a kid, I believe.
I don't know if he is still now, but he is. So Kanye keeps taking this, he keeps taking this fish rod up. First off, I posted bullet points of the things that he said in there. And I'm going to just go over them real quick because it was a flash of everything. And it was so much that was said. And I can sum it up. Okay. This is what so Netanyahu, he took an orange net, right? Like a fish net. That you can like clean a fish bowl out. And he was calling it Netanyahu and he was doing a voice like a puppet and being like, "Oh, Kanye's bad. We need to get him on the news." And he kept doing that. And he has a mask on and a cool leather racing jacket on. He looks like a villain and he's talking like a dude. And it's funny, but it's demented. Okay.
Well, can we talk a little bit about Kanye's interviews? Like Kanye. I know everybody's like listening to Kanye's music again and you hear stuff that make you laugh. One of the things that Kanye does, and I didn't realize until I listened to Homecoming again, is he has to tell the punchline. It's so funny. He's like he doesn't think anybody else gets what he's saying. So when he's like, "I'm talking about Chi-Town. If you haven't got it," like, "Yeah, dude, we got it. The entire song you've been talking about a city. It's been overtly clear entire song." It's like,
yes.
And then like, you know, it's like, he's like, "I can't talk about the people I'm not allowed to say. It's the truth."
Yeah, he has to say the punchline. There's no like let you fight figure it out. But think about what's happened. How many times have we tried to be figuratively and then people do it the wrong way? People say it the wrong way.
And of course, what happened to Pasternak? What's the deal with him?
Okay, so wait. So thank you. So we're gonna get into that. So this is the next thing he did. He reveals his details of the Trump dinner where he propositioned Trump about being his running mate. You know, he went to Mar-a-Lago with Nick Fuentes.
Yeah.
So he did that. He had Nick explain how he accidentally sent a text about Trump to Trump's lawyer during their dinner instead of a friend it was meant for. So he was talking shit, which I didn't see that part. He complimented Hitler on his cool uniforms and architecture skills.
Who did?
Kanye did.
Oh,
yes.
Jesus.
He said he loves Nazis and the surgeon who killed his mother. Okay. He insisted that no one is more gangster than God. He proclaimed a standing love for Balenciaga, arguing that all porn on the internet has a satanic grip on society. Okay. He let his band friends tweet from his account and he revealed the song he sings while skipping down the street about how the Clintons will kill him. He did do that. He was like, he said, "I remember being in Malibu and I was in the morning, I would skip on a beach and be like, how are the Clintons going to kill me?" He said he did that. And
you know,
I
love that because that's a conspiracy theory that I 100% subscribe to, is the Clinton murders, because
he's talking that shit. First of all, porn is sex trafficking, and it's in all of our shit. It's everywhere. Porn is everywhere. If you're Instagram if you're watching porn, you're watching somebody else's daughter. They got trafficked into that overall, the whole thing. If we really want to get deep on some look, sex work is some shit, but the line between sex work and sex trafficking is such a slim, thin line. And the people working in that industry have to say it so clearly that the girls are making a choice and the girls are saying, I'm doing this and stand up for women's rights. But how many 18-year-old girls do it and then come back when they're 24 and say, I did not know what I was doing. And I got, you know, and should should we be excusing them of that? No, but there's a should. Okay. What are you saying?
We shouldn't be excusing them.
I know, but we have to also acknowledge the culture, and how people get pushed into that. And I know that the adults make their own choice, and I'm here with that. But there is a programming that's going on.
There is, and that's who is that? Richard Dawkins talks about memes, not memes like internet memes, funny things, but ideas that get introduced culturally. A meme is a unit of cultural inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my children about this. You know, like I saw another people that had a big family. I was like, oh, good for them. And my daughter's like, what do you mean? I was like, it's tough nowadays, you know, with all the people being condemning of having a big family. She's like, no one condemns a big family. I was like, you got to stop that. Because first off, one, when people go, oh, I would have kids, but I like money. That's a unit of cultural inheritance, a meme of a saying that if you have kids, you don't like money, and therefore you are poor with kids. So it's a way to look down. Or I would have kids, but I like to travel.
that's a whole thing. Okay, are being told to not have kids so that they can live this free life. Right. And then they're alone later. And then they realize, oh, shit, I need somebody to help me. Right. Or whatever.
Yeah. I don't think everybody's that way. I think some people are happy to be. There are some people who don't need to have kids.
No, I agree.
And there's some women who don't need to have kids.
No, I'm just saying that there's a lot of programming that's being told to tell them do not have kids. You see what I'm saying?
There's a lot of prevalence. When somebody shows their stuff, they don't go, oh, look what I've accomplished. They go, look what I've accomplished without kids. You don't need to add that with that part, because that's the programming piece. Looking at what you have, wonderful. Show what you got, brag, flex, do that. But when you do it with the agenda of saying none of this could have happened if I had done this, then it is the programming. So yes, I completely agree with you. And I agree with now this thing that, oh, I didn't know what I was doing. That's a falsehood. You knew what you were doing. You were having sex for money. To me, porn is, and the porn industry, yes, obviously that like they get taken advantage of and take all this, but you talk about these girls and they say, I don't know what I was doing. Oh, feel bad for me. But when Kanye, a young artist, gets signed and he doesn't get his name anymore, people are like, well, that's the fucking deal. So how is it okay for like us to be like, no, they didn't know what they were doing, but look at a young artist at 18 signing a contract with 100 lawyers and they're like, I didn't know what I was doing, like, tough, should have got better management.
Both
like,
of those are rapings.
Yes, you know,
both of those are rapings, dude. In a way, your parent, your family's not around, you're alone, you have these people that have insidious intentions on projections of your future and how much they're going to take from money you can't even fathom.
They're already guaranteeing your money off of what you've done in the future,
and they're feeding their kids in the future off your future money that you're not going to have, dude.
Yeah,
and come on, bro.
and I know, and it's crazy because you're right, it's a parasitic culture. Management, production, executive, producers, in certain aspects, that is a parasitic culture. Like, and sometimes those words are interposed for different things. Like a producer in music might be the guy that's cleaning up the beats, doing all this other stuff, and, you know, whatever. The producer, in another sense, might not be doing all those things. He's paying a few people to do.
Who is DJ Khaled? DJ Khaled is not on keys. right? But he's pulling together engineers. He's pulling together composers. He's pulling together artists, and he produces an album that sounds really cool, but the guys that are actually on the keys, you know what I'm saying? And then he names it under himself. Now, what's going on under all the numbers and who gets cuts of what and who gets royalties and who lives off of it for the next forever years, you know what I'm saying? That's a whole nother thing, you know? But
yeah,
why is he, should he even be called a DJ? Did he press play on things, you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of these things.
And by the way, I have two people that I can't listen to any music from. Anything that DJ Khaled is going to yell his name at, I immediately have to turn it off because I can't stand it, because there was a predecessor to him, which is fucking Mr. Worldwide. I cannot stand Pitbull announcing his name in every fucking song.
Hilarious.
So when DJ Khaled came, I'm like, fuck, already, nope. Can't listen to you because Mr. Worldwide already fucked it over for you. And it could be a great song, but I'm never going to listen to it because of Pitbull.
Pitbull became super annoying. Gasolina.
But I got that. Mr. Worldwide. You know what I mean, Mr. Worldwide?
It became really, really. And then it's him with all black background. And then they zoom out and it's like dog standing next to him and then a girl in a car. He's got his hands open. That's the picture that's in my mind. And it's just like, it's plastic. Nevertheless, where are y'all? Is this a Miami background? Is this LA? What are you? You're just brown guy?
Can we talk about, I'm sorry, if everything ends in A and O, you're not really even rhyming. Come on, fucking Mexico.
Thank you. Yes.
Get it together. Yes. You're not even making music. You're just saying the same words. It doesn't even matter. You're like, oh, that doesn't rhyme. Well, change it from the feminine to the masculine. Now we rhyme again. It's like, okay, this isn't even fair. This is silly. We're off on a tangent.
No, it's okay.
One more thing about... all right. I'm done with my hate for fantasy. Go ahead. Sorry.
So where we're at, though, so with the, there was this huge, in between this Alex Jones stuff and the Kanye getting dropped stuff, Kyrie Irving drops a documentary.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm back in this world.
Yes.
And then I'm gonna tell you, we can't forget about Dave Chappelle.
We're leaving out things, not talking with Danny on this, because Danny has been in Germany and been in different parts of Europe and probably has more pieces of information, and I would like to hear from his perspective. So hopefully he'll be on the next episode. Nevertheless, So Kyrie posts a thing called Hebrews to Negroes. He just posts a link of it, right? So he gets,
and by the way, that's such a, you know, I know, but that's such a lost little thing that instead of Hebrews and Hebrews, that would be the best.
Hebrews to Hebrews. I mean, it was a book and I saw that book everywhere. And so the guy was a book for years. It came out in 2014. I saw a whole bunch of people holding it and talking about it. And it was just like around. One second. Yeah.
And if we want, like, everyone's like, oh, that was based off incorrect statistics and all that. If you want to have that outcry about that, let's talk about Graham Norton calling all brown ancient people stupid.
That's the thing. So Kyrie Irving gets masked. They're not dropping his next shoes. He gets suspended for 5 games. He gets fined. And every time you see him, they're saying, say sorry. Aren't you going to say sorry? Aren't you going to denounce anti-Semitism? Aren't you going to say what you said was wrong? Aren't you going to say that movie was wrong? Aren't you going to say this? Aren't you going to, okay? And they every day hit him. And he had to keep on explaining himself and keep on apologizing over and over again. And everyone called Charles Barkley, Shaq, everybody called him stupid. Everybody was like, that idiot. Kyrie Irving's the devil. Kyrie Irving's an anti-Semitic piece of trash. Kyrie Irving is super dangerous. The ADL and Jewish people were at his game sitting behind him, harassing him, okay? Harassing him while he's playing, okay? He was wearing Skechers and Fruit of Loom socks at his last game.
I love because Kanye went to Skechers. Is that why he did it?
No, he just like, I can't wear Nike right now. Straight up. So that he really was just wearing those. Like, he was looking fucked up playing. His feet were probably bleeding. So nevertheless, okay. Kanye. So sorry. That documentary. No one, here's the thing. And Godfrey had this conversation. I listened to it today with two Jewish guys. I didn't even get to finish it. It's the best conversation I've heard about this whole thing. Okay, if you're caught, the issue that a lot of black people, and it made more black people go watch it, and it started becoming a bestseller, and people were like, it's so many people were watching the movie. The movie, let's before, people are just calling things anti-Semitic and not telling anybody why. You can just say something anti-Semitic and shut somebody down, and then everybody will demonize that person without ever even having a conversation. If someone calls...
Yeah, and that's the thing, like... Usually, like, I mean, and here's the crazy part, too. Mm-hmm. Like, when everybody was getting called transphobic and homophobic and all this, there are people out there, and, like, Ben Shapiro, one of them, being like, hey, you can't say that because I'm allowed to have this free speech. Look at me. As soon as the anti-Semitism thing is like, you can't be anti-Semitism.
Yep,
it's like,
yep,
you
yep.
just shown your own hypocrisy.
Yes,
so
you did.
I don't want Ben Shapiro to ever talk about
anything, really anything.
Like,
you
lost everything.
You
can't just call me transphobic when it's good for you. You're gonna say it just like that. Ben Shapiro is as woke as they come, based off of his reaction to Candace Owens, who is his employee. He's like, my employee needs to denounce Kanye West. Like, no, she doesn't. She has her beliefs. Why does that, in any other regards, should get him fired federally?
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyways, man, there's so much.
That's what this is about right now. All of that, you expose Kanye going as far as you can to say, I love Hitler, and I love everybody. I love the people that killed my mom. I love the people that took away my children. Saying I love all of that, right? Not saying I hate it. I love it. And then exposing those people that are like, I can't be with you anymore. Even though you were saying you were showing hate to certain things, right? Exposes where people stand, even though they were trying to be on this side, right? All those people that were at one point, because it's his philosophy. Now, I'm not saying, look, I'm not on some I love Hitler shit. I'm not saying that. But let's be real. We do drive Volkswagen, and we do love Mercedes, and we do love German architecture. We adore the shit. So let's not, like... Mitsubishi, the Mitsubishi dudes, Japanese people went over to learn Japanese shit. I'm driving a Toyota. They copied from that shit. Let's be real here. They did great shit. They brought great things to the world. We're not going to sit up here and act like, and that's what he's trying to say there. And it's like we're living in these double standards overall.
It's the baby in the bathwater situation.
Yes!
Or it's how much of the bad is there before you're willing to throw it
yes,
away?
Yes.
And I think that's the thing. So they had time. They're between, you know, obviously 1945 to now. It's almost a forgotten thing that they're connected. People keep bringing it up and it's all this, but to try to erase like Hitler from and all this stuff, that's throwing out the baby with the bathwater. That's that whole cliched saying. And right now, Kanye, if you look at like his music and what he stands for, people are okay throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm. About the conversation, it made black people be like, hey, what's up with this? What's up with the conversation of like, actually, who are these Jews? Like, what's going on? Like, what is this? And so people watch the movie. The movie is the facts. No one can deny them because they're using DNA. There's DNA evidence, there's language evidence, there's scholars, there's Jewish scholars that he's using. So if you call, it's using Jewish scholars that he's putting the information back then. So if he's anti-Semitic, then they're anti-Semitic. You can't, you know what I'm saying? He's like turning it back on them. The movie is boring as fuck. It's not an amazing movie. It's just saying over and over again, reiterating that there are black people and there are people all over the world that are also Jewish. Now, why they're left out of that conversation is because there's white supremacy that it's not even Jewish people's fault, but there's white supremacy within Judaism. They deny and treat Ethiopians and other people really bad. Now, I just heard that on Gottfried's show from an Israeli Jewish person. I'm not coming at Jewish people, but some of them are racist to their own Jews, and that's just what it is. It's not even their fault. We all get taught white supremacy.
Just because a group of people were persecuted doesn't mean that they're incapable of hate anymore.
Yes, yes.
And here's the thing, you know, like growing up, and I talked to this, you know, a Dominican guy about this as well. And we, he was the darkest in his family, and so his grandmother used to call him Negrito, basically little black baby. And mm-hmm. I used to be, you know, Indio. Oh, you know, you're basically, because Indians didn't just exist in America, they existed throughout the Americas. So if look at me, I'm a really brown guy with a Spanish last name. Probably, you know, way back where in my heritage, maybe there was Spaniard, or maybe they're like, hey, take a black name, or take a black name, take a last name. I don't know why black came in there, but take a last name. And you know, that's the reality, is there's a lot of lost heritage in there. So just, and certain people in Mexico are looked highly, the lighter skin you are and the darker skin you are, the less favorably you're looked upon. So that's why, you know, a lot of times people are like, hey, why don't you claim that you're Mexican? And I'm always like, it's a nationality. It's not an ethnicity. And I don't agree with Mexican cultures and views. I don't agree with the color of my skin needing to be a big factor of where I would stand in the culture. And that's one of the biggest things. My daughter's like, oh, you know, you're not proud of your culture. I'm like, why are we talking about Mexico and not the natives from that time?
Like, that's, you know, also a thing. How about African American? Africa is a continent. Like, that's how it wiped away. Everyone else is, even if you by blood are Mexican American, that's a country. You know what I'm saying? And there's all these cities within that. Let's talk about that, or states actually. But then, okay, let's. What about people that are European American? They're not European American. You're Italian American. You're all this. They go by specific. These ethnicities and bloodlines and or races. But also, when you talk about Jewish people, when it comes down to it, what makes them who they are, because they go all over the place, they've been in so many different countries, is actually that they believe they practice Judaism. It's a faith, and it's something that's in their mind, or it's a belief that they have. Okay. So, but if you say you're a Christian, you know, so if you say you're a Christian and you don't believe in God, yeah, you're not really a Christian, right? Exactly. But you could be Ashkenazi Jew and not really practice Judaism, or don't even give a fuck about God at all. Dude, what's up here, dude? You know?
People talk about it. Genetics is based off of modern people's aggregate and what they say they are. It's not like they're able to go, like, look at a gene and, you know, you look at A and T, G and A, A and T, G and C, A and T, G and C, like, that's it. You know, your DNA basically is spelling out Jew right there, or African right there, or Indian right there. No, we are using the conglomerates of people where they're at.
Yes.
As what mm-hmm. it is.
Yes.
Realistically, any other place you would take that at, it would be considered, you know, cherry picking data. It's like, well, you know, that's called sampling bias. It's like, oh, I took everybody here because it was convenient to say that's what this people were.
So
that would be considered a sampling bias.
So people have been being convenience bias, my bad. And then other people are saying, as soon as we're saying let's have the conversation, that's looked at as damaging to Jewish people. And you know, Jewish people, there's a diaspora. They went to Europe for 2,000 years, were prosecuted.
What is diaspora?
There's a Jewish diaspora.
I don't even know that word.
Oh, so there's an African diaspora because there was a slave trade and or an exile from an actual land.
Is diaspora a slave trade?
So if there is an exile or a slave trade, after that, when everything breaks off, where everybody ends up going because of that event, that's where all those people that are from that area are called the diaspora. Okay. Hmm. Yeah, so the African diaspora, and it's something that Marcus Garvey really talked about, black people that after slave trade went everywhere, you know what I'm saying, in Europe, you know, in obviously North America, in South America, everywhere. That is all of the same people, because everyone originally came from Africa. But black people, those Africans, not like before all that, and like, you know, because people like to skew the conversation and be like, well, everybody's black at one point. No, but I'm talking about like after slave trade, you know.
Well, kind of, if you adhere to the Africa whole evolution, basically that's true. And it's considered like you started in Africa and then they went out. But here's the other part about
the diaspora specifically is after slave trade, so that is it. Yeah,
no, but I'm saying this is a funny thing. When the people left Africa, in traveling, not the slave trade thing.
Yeah.
There were a lot of women fucking cavemen, and no one wants to talk about that. Europeans, Asians, they got the Denisovians, and you got the Neanderthals. And I'm just saying, the out of Africa theory, Africans don't have the other human, hominid, however you want to say, human DNA in them.
Yeah, that is something that someone thought about, and I don't know what does that prove, or what's the thought of that? What's the statement in that people left and went to other places and they fucked Neanderthals?
Yeah, that's what okay. It is. That's the whole part of that statement.
Well, I mean, like, what is that? And then is there judgment? That might be to why.
That might be why people look so different than Africans.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's possible. Yes. Okay. Well, yeah, that's pretty true. I mean, that's that. Yes. I hear that point. I just had a couple people bring that up and I'm just like, what is the statement to that? That's why people look up, but they say it kind of with a smile on their face as if like Neanderthals obviously were attractive still. And I'm like, okay, what's your point?
No. So the whole thought about, when you have a group that leaves, there's something called genetic drift. And it's a real thing. And basically what happens is if you have a large genetic pool, you have a large amount of what they call good genes that can fight bad genes.
Mm-hmm.
So they call it deleterious alleles versus beneficiary alleles. So what happens is if you lose all of these things, like through randomness, you can actually have less and less and less, and that's what causes the massive difference in how people look.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So they got the African fuck out of them, is what you're saying, over time. That
basically, yes. Or there was enough. Yeah, they could
have Neanderthal DNA.
Yeah, and then basically the Neanderthal DNA wasn't enough to overcompensate Homo sapien DNA. So basically, all the things that whether it was with looks, survivability or all that, that's how kind of people change a bit.
Right. Okay. Cool. Understandable. That's
so you're talking about diasporas.
Jewish diaspora. The one thing that has fallen short, I guess, in the conversation is that people are acknowledging that, you know, there were Jewish people that went to, you know, Europe for a good minute, and that's how they ended up white. And, you know, things happen because of that, and there's all this stuff. Now, when it comes to Zionism, woo, and Zionists, and whether you look at that as positive or negative, and people wanting to come back to the homeland, you know, there's people in Jamaica that talk about Zion, you know what I'm saying? Talking about going back to the homeland. Now, whether that means some people say what's interesting is that Africans say Zion is Ethiopia, the original first place where everything was, and then Jewish people call Zion Israel. So it's this interesting thing. No one's asking Ethiopians. No one's asking Ethiopians what the history was. They're the oldest people. They're one of the oldest civilizations. They have the oldest shit. There's also Black Jews in Ethiopia. What went on? What happens if Ethiopians are in Israel? Okay. So
I don't think people look at Ethiopians that fairly ever since Tom Hanks made that movie. Like, I'm the captain now.
That was Somalians, but that's hilarious.
Is that Somalia?
Oh, it was Somalians, but I hear what you're saying. They look the same.
That's terrible.
They're East African. They look very similar. They look similar. Eritreans, Habesha people. You
I got
can't
my
say
A's wrong. I told you I Spanish rap, so those rhyme to me. Right, Ethiopia, right. Somalia. There you go. Mm-hmm. I'm rhyming in Spanish.
That's I mean, a Somali man to an untrained eye can look like an Ethiopian man. I could see that. I hope I'm not offending anybody. East African people are very gorgeous people. They're beautiful. Good for them. I eat your food. And everybody's fire. Y'all are wonderful. I want to know more what was going on. If an Ethiopian person goes to Israel, what goes down? I know. They get treated super racistly. Why? Because there's racism in that situation. Nevertheless, Nevertheless, overall, black people just like, hey, what is up with the conversation? We share DNA with these people. We share DNA with the people that are still practicing Hebrew stuff all around the world. So what's the deal? You know, why can't we? Why is it so wrong? So you got Kanye goes on all these platforms. Kanye goes on Lex Friedman's podcast. Kanye goes on Lex Friedman podcast. He goes to
and then real quick, can we talk about what boring motherfucker Lex is? Like, Lex Friedman is the I listened to his podcast because you sent me the link. And then I was like, then like another episode came up, and oh my Jesus, he's the most boring human being I've ever
So I think that there's certain personalities that listen to things that connect with these. If you're a hip hop person, you're gonna go listen to that. If you're a more of a bro or a guy that likes working out or a guy that likes to just hear about science from a certain perspective, you know, you are going to listen to more Joe Rogan. You know what I'm saying? I must use the word bro, but it's just like there is a type of guy that like really fucks with Joe Rogan still to this day, right? To this day now. Okay. If you're still listening to Joe Rogan still and you haven't found something else, yo. So then there's a certain type of guy that listens
Shout out to Bad Friends.
There's a certain type of guy that listens to Tiger Belly. And Bad Friends.
I don't listen to Tiger Belly, but I do love Bad Friends.
Thank you. There's a type of guy, okay? So it's demographics. So there's a type of guy that wants pure science and likes to hear about engineering and science and really these challenging thoughts because it's not riddled with religion and it's not in culture. It's not in these things. It's these intense, deep quantum physics conversation. Cut the bullshit. I just want to be here about quantum shit right now. And at his boring stuff. And I just want to zone out and listen to that. That's what Lex Friedman is. So for him to have Kanye on there and him be like a robot, this is what Lex Friedman is. And Kanye wants to talk purely about engineering and how important that can be. You saw the conversation. He was like, this is why I wanted to come talk to you. And Lex Friedman looked like he wanted to cry on that episode. Like they were in the comments like, this is the most human I've ever seen you be, Lex Friedman.
Oh, I didn't look at any comments on that. But yeah, it was terribly bored. Like not the Kanye one. The Kanye one was very interesting. But like when the next one, because you know, you Spotify and then
right.
automatically pulls up the next one and you're doing dishes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oof.
He's usually a boring dude.
Oh, he's terribly boring. He's one of the worst to listen to.
So and that's not your style. But some people are like, I come here to listen to you be like that. But it's nice to actually see you be human. I know that you're becoming a better interviewer. But Kanye brought that out of him, right? Kanye was bouncing around and he was challenging his whole I'm Jewish, you can't say anything about me point of view so hard that it made him get out of that and be like, hey, I'm usually don't talk like this, but my family is like this and this, and it hurts me when you say these type of things, and we're supposed to be friends, so what's up? And Kanye's like, my family got taken from me, so what's cracking? Okay.
My God. He said one of the most controversial, like I remember like just sitting there. I was doing dishes at the time, and when he says the most dangerous place in, you know, for a young black man is in his mother's womb, I was like, oh my gosh.
What a bar.
What a, you know, I felt the Eric Andre meme. How can you be so controversial yet so brave?
So brave. Yep.
Yeah. Jeez. And I was like, wow, that's an insane statistic. That is. Yeah. I was blown away by that. But anyways, sorry, I derailed. I just had to let everybody know that, yes, not all of these interviews are the best. Because
no, they're not. I'm not even telling you to go listen to them because, by the way, at this point, 24 hours worth of interviews.
Yeah, and Drink Champs, was it like I got probably about 15 to 20 minutes into that. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't like Noriega. I don't know. Something about the face and the way he asks, he's weaselly. You could tell
he's weaselly. Obviously weaselly. It's not like it's like you're being messy on purpose. Yeah. I gotta say, dog, I heard you got smacked on the L train a few days ago. Tell us about that. Yeah. All right, everybody. Yeah. It's like sorry if I'm clapping super loud, but it was like you didn't even try and make that slick, bro.
Yeah, he's something about like the way his, and it's not just that. It's, I feel like at a genetic level, Like, a societal level. You have had to learn about cheaters and about people who are going to take money from you. That little kid who's like, hey, can I, like, get on your bike? And then he rides it to his house and leaves it there. That's Noriega. He just has that face of something that is, he's gonna screw you over.
He used to be a street dude. He was that guy. He talks about that too. But I'm telling you, that's also, you know, where you're coming from though too. Like, yeah, that might not be a guy that molds well with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Kanye West has introduced me to many podcasts that are out of my zone of what I would listen to.
Yeah. And then we just went to Alex Jones.
Okay, dude. By the way, Alex Jones is a guilty pleasure of mine. Alex Jones is like fucking whipped cream, just like on top of just like a graham cracker. It's just, it's something lazy, it's but I know it's going to be. On top of
a Werther's, because there's nothing good about it.
Yeah.
There's no anything good for you at all in this bite at all.
No, and you're like 90% of it's going to be like
bullshit.
Exactly. Like, you know,
and it's going to make me laugh, and I'm going to get a little buzz for a second. The fact that this dude is going on a rampage of saying, and man.
I also have I listen to him like, oh my God, people are going to believe that. Oh my God, people are going to believe that.
Yes.
I have this, like, there's this intense hilariousness that not what he's saying, but who's believing. It's like, oh my goodness. Because you know you can't have that sort of followership without somebody going, this guy's right. This guy gets it. He knows what's going on.
His following's huge.
Oh, and it's the best, because it's like, man, I can't believe like people are with this hook, line, and sinker. So Alex Jones is just the best of the crazies.
So that's that. It's hilarious. The episode was insane. He had Nick Fuentes on there, who has openly said racist ass things. Not like slightly, like I don't support LGBT. I don't believe in women's rights. Black people are violent to me. He said the N-word, like straight up racist things. Kanye comes there with him. Insanity. It seemed like, you know, that part of the Joker where the Joker is sitting next to Rob De Niro in that interview, and you're like, this is eerie as fuck, and he's like so comfortable with himself and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that. If Kanye pulled a gun out and shot Alex Jones in the head right there, it would have been like, duh.
Yeah. I probably one of the few that did not like the Joker movie.
A lot of people hated it.
I saw nothing but love for the Joker. And the thing was, is just what you're saying. Those moments kept feeling so preposterous. And there's a term in where you're like in a movie and something happens in the movie and you're like immediately going, that doesn't seem real. That doesn't feel right. And that was the Joker. And so when he was dancing down the stairs, I'm like, okay, why? Why is this a big part of this movie? You know what I'm saying?
It's your something of disbelief. I forgot what it is, but it's your something of belief.
Yeah.
You have to be bought in with it. And yeah, there's some things that can pull you out.
Yeah, you make a contract kind of with like, it's like, it's an unwritten contract. You're like, I'm going to believe everything you say until they do something that's like, nope, this doesn't make sense to me. And you're pulled out. Like, and that happens a lot when you're an expert in something. Like, if you're an expert in geology and you're watching them tunnel to the center of the earth, you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Or you're like, you're an astronaut, or you like space, and you're like, oh, yeah. You watch this, you watch something that deals with outer space, and you're like, that's wrong.
Right.
But as a normal person in society, watching the Joker and the way he behaved, you're like, no one would talk to this guy.
Yeah. The fact that he was able to rise higher in society, and he made himself, I'm not trying to be bogus, but, you know, Joaquin made himself a little too skinny, a little too crazy. He had a little bit more pounds. It's like, okay, but you look like the guy that people avoid strongly.
And yes.
How would you get a following? Why would not one person in the group be like, all right, this guy, you know?
Yeah, you put that guy on TikTok or on anything, he's going to be zero followers.
Cringy. No, he's going to get cringe followers. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
He's going to get the cringe. But they were treating him like a fucking, like a messiah.
Yes.
And like, oh, he's gross. Why would anybody?
But is society going to get so, this is why I watch cringe things. Sometimes there's a flip and society gets so warped, or there's some people that are so cringe that they get a following.
Yeah, that's what you just said there, that's the reason I believe the mullet is back. It's just society.
Or porn so stashes. Cringe. Porn stashes are back. And okay, in LA, so there's
I've always thought.
They never left to you. They never left to you. Okay.
Because I grew up in Wyoming. My dad had that stash. And I never thought of that as a porn stash. I thought of that as the Mexican stash. That was like my dad's mustache. So
the guys are wearing porn stashes and mullets. And then they'll have on those cool, like those red, the rainbow Oakley shades and some short shorts. And they'll have a tank top on. And girls will be like, that's fucking Brett. I love him. Like, these are the dudes that are killing it. And some Crocs.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't realize an hour had fucking passed.
For real. I looked too. We got it in fast.
Dude, that was... I missed you. That's the reality. I missed Danny too. I cannot wait for him to fucking get back on this. And, you know, we can keep doing these things. But, man, I feel so good about this. And, you know, when Danny comes back, we can talk about his man crush, Elon. That's wait
okay.
For him.
That's the next. Okay.
That's the next episode.
So let me just, can I say this one thing that I've been waiting to say that I didn't even get to?
I'll allow it. Okay.
Here we go. This is the next part as to why, how everything's flipping into this weird world.
The end of the Kanye, not the end. The
it
end
feeds
of the chapter.
Into it. The end of this chapter, but it feeds into this. Okay. Elon Musk buys Twitter, brings Kanye back on. Kanye does the Alex Jones shit within 10 days of him coming back on. Kanye puts on his, he says, this is going to be my campaign. This is going to be my campaign symbol. It is a Star David with a swastika in the center of it.
Oh my God.
Elon says, I'm sorry, brother. I have to suspend you again. Kanye says, let this be remembered as my last post. And it's a picture of Elon Musk with his shirt off. And then he says, okay. And then he kicks him off, dude. And then today, and then, I'm sorry, and then yesterday, Elon releases the Twitter files, which is actual emails showing that the Biden campaign had them suppress information that people were posting that was evidence that was about Hunter Biden and that was damaging to his election. Twitter, thank you. It's proof of it right laid out there.
So Twitter is a government agency. Not a government agency. A political party agency.
And Elon isn't about that. That's why they've all attacked him, dude. They showed it clear as day that they suppressed things, dude. Information. People, the files, the analytics is right there. All the files. Dude, what's up? And so now they're saying that hate speech is rising. No, dude. Oh my God, dude.
Well, can I tell you something crazy?
What?
Learning about memes and, you know, just thought ideas and how they program people to behave. So if you think about a virus, right, and you get a virus.
You told me about this, but I don't want to hear it. Want to hear it on here.
Oh, okay. And if you have a virus, one of the best ways is to basically either one, you know, get vaccinated. And that's everybody's going to expect me to say. Or two, you get it and your body builds, you know, immunity or overcomes it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have the thought, like, people who aren't getting exposed to ideas are now going to be, like, less able to ward off. But, like, the whole thought is, like, oh, we can't tell people these ideas because they're too dangerous and they won't accept it. But you get people like, you know, like the Bro Nation, the Andrew Tate people who don't ever get to hear, like, hey, you're not being wrong for, like, being masculine or any of this. And if you hear that little bit, and you're like, oh my God, you get infected. And then you accept everything else that goes along with certain terrible beliefs that he has.
Yes,
because you're not
yes.
inoculated to that.
The dangerous stuff.
Yeah. So if people got to hear about all that stuff all the time, then there would be a lot less, there would be a lot more, you know, like able to like hear bad ideas. If you had to hear bad ideas all the time, like if you're part of a, like a, if you've been scammed once, right?
Ooh, okay, yeah.
You don't ever, like, you build up an immunity to that.
Yeah,
you're ready for it. You feel it. Like I said, you feel like Noriega's going to steal your bike. You see it from miles away. You're like, okay, this is going to happen.
Right.
So then, you're built up against it. But if you never hear those ideas, I feel like as a society, we have become ideologically immunocompromised.
Ideologically immunocompromised. Because we were lied to so long,
yes. Really,
because it was so like cushy and so many things were protected from us. And that's why when people from other countries watch our news, they're like, dude, they're fucking with you guys so bad. And I tried to bring that up and say on Twitter, before this Azov shit popped off, before people knew about the Azov, this girl was arguing with me and was saying,
hold on, time out. Azov?
The Azov is the battalion of 900 people that are neo-Nazis in fucking Ukraine.
Okay. We didn't put a name to them before.
What they're called, yes. So before there was actually, like, that was confirmed and it was coming out, right? I was like, this girl had the Ukrainian flag in her thing and was calling Kyrie and Kanye all these evil things and saying all this mean stuff. And I said, hey, well, what's up with the Azov? And is there anything about Nazis, neo-Nazis in Ukraine? Why do we keep sending dollars to them? And then she did everything she could to just call me anti-Semitic and say that I hated her and that I support, that I was a Holocaust denier and all this. I was like, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that thing. I'm talking about what's going on in Ukraine right now. And then this other dude got on and his shit said, vote Biden. And he started, I was like, are you two bots? Yeah. What is this? And I was like, what I am saying is that we are getting fed less of the story from Westerners. As Westerners, we are getting overall fucked up news. And then they're like, why are you calling it the Jewish media? I was like, I said Western, both sides. And dude, it was insane. They were doing everything they could to just call me names and label me, you know?
To credit your point, like, you know, like, let's look about what the American schools, American history taught us about Columbus, right?
Yes.
That's coming out because we've decided to talk about it. Why won't they let us talk about different stuff like the Holocaust and all that stuff? Because we're finding out fallacies. Like Christopher Columbus was an awful, he created his own slave trade.
Yes.
In the Americas.
Yes.
He stole land and did all kinds of terrible things. And because we were able to look into it, we were able to now identify that, and everyone can kind of go, yeah, Christopher Columbus was a big piece of shit. His impact on the world cannot be disputed, but he was a piece of shit. We shouldn't celebrate him. We should call, like, I don't think that, like, we should call it Christopher Columbus Day. We should call it, like, Discovery Day.
I mean, it's called Indigenous Day in LA.
But he's still a piece of shit. So,
right.
And we're able to look into that. Why can't we have the same level of scrutiny for all of our history? If we know that they've lied to us at certain points, you got the Tuskegee, you got just conspiracy after conspiracy after conspiracy, right? And different bad things. Why can't we just look into all of our history? Why it makes it more curious that we don't want to discuss other factors of our history, not even to look into it. And that makes you a Holocaust denier because you want to look into the history. That's crazy. That's we talk about dog whistles all the time. That's to other people, it's kind of that dog whistle. Like, why can't we talk about it? Why is it wrong to have a discussion about what happened?
Because it's all connected. And so if you spend too much time, okay, these people that support it are getting paid thousands of dollars. And so if you were to, it all is tapped in. So if you talk about this, then you're probably talking about all of these big, it's like these big people that are backing it, and we don't get to know about it until later, until they slip up, like Balenciaga and these celebrities. All these celebrities are backed by all these other brands, and hold so if on. All these brands get tied into sex trafficking, then what? Okay, go ahead.
This has nothing to do with what you're saying. Also, is anybody going to bring up how weird it is how people drastically change after going to the air quotes Holocaust Museum?
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean,
and Harley Kastner told Kanye to go there.
Like, well, let me take you to the Holocaust Museum. They come back out like, I am so sorry. I'm sorry. You could show me a 20 million dead people. I'm not going to say anything. What sort of crazy brainwashing things happens on the quote unquote Holocaust Museum? And why is the Holocaust Museum found in every fucking city in America? What is happening at these places where people completely change their mind?
Yeah.
And why do I feel crazy for like thinking what I'm thinking about that right now?
Well, because Harley Pasternak, who is a part of PSYOPs in Canada, to turn Kanye in and actually told him that he was going to send him back to zombie and send him back to zombie land, and his kids being with his kids will never be the same, right? Told Kanye to go to the Holocaust Museum. So
yeah,
that's why he's a part of PSYOPs.
Is it a code term for something like
MK Ultra?
Yeah, like an MK Ultra type thing. Like, we're going to take you to the Holocaust Museum. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to a museum. And what happens to you? Like, maybe you do go to the museum and then they put a bag over your head, pump you full of drugs, and you're like, I don't ever want to experience that again. I agree. They torture you. It's basically like Guantanamo Bay for social engineering celebrities.
Right.
What's happening? I want to go to this Holocaust Museum if somebody gets taken to the next celebrity that gets taken to the Holocaust Museum, there better be a camera crew to see what's actually happening. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Because I've seen all the pictures of like the starving people, and by God, I tell you what, I felt nothing.
Yo, that was such a setup, dude. That was beautiful. Jesus, by God, I gotta tell you, I felt nothing. That was beautiful. That was great. You know, like, no, it's awful. It was a messed up thing that happened. We know that. But if I come back and become now and want to and change my whole life around because of it, I think that's a little weird. And by no means is that like, man, who, what? And if we come to find out that black people were in the Holocaust too. They killed black people. They killed Jehovah's Witness too and cripples. There were 6 million Jews. There was 11 million people in all that got killed in the Holocaust. 6 million. And that's what that I do not deny that. What I do deny is that it was almost half. They were half of who got killed.
Yeah. And like, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. And I do agree with that, but it doesn't make me change my mind. There's so much suffering that happens. Like, you know, like every time somebody, you know, talks about like, an Asian person or like if there's Asian hate, the one's like, hey, let me show you what happened in China. Let me show you all these dead people from China. Then that's going to change your mind. No, why is there something that exists that's changing people's minds so drastically? People are resistant to change, heavily resistant to change. And only a few things work, like strict programming. Like the Marine Corps is one of them. Marine Corps has very strict programming. You go to boot camp, you come out a different person.
Right.
Army boot camp, Navy boot camp, Air Force boot camp, it doesn't matter. Coast Guard, all of those, you go in, you come out different. College is a programming thing, whether it's through learn and behaviors, you come out a different person.
Right.
Police academy. Yeah, somebody goes to a bar or they go to a movie. They're not like, there's very few times where you're like, dude, my entire life has changed.
Right, or a museum.
Yeah.
An art museum. It doesn't make you be like, I will never talk anything about the fine arts again.
Yeah, I saw Van Gogh, and you know what? He cut off his ear. I cut off my finger. That's how it happens.
That does not happen.
That doesn't happen. When are we going to look at intense psychological programming and call it what it is? Whatever this Holocaust Museum is, it's not going to the Holocaust Museum. I've got to tell you that right now. Because that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
What if they just take him there and like keep him there for a week and they're just starving him? What's happening?
The fact that Harley Pasternak told him to do that. And then if you ever watch the video of him when they took Kanye in, and got him 5150, then they were walking and the lady was like, well, how does he look? Well, what happened? Well, why is he going there? Is he okay? Was he fine? Was he doing drugs? Was he? He was just like, he just was sleepy. And then he didn't say anything else and is just walking. It was so creepy. They follow him for 3 minutes asking questions and it's in the dark and the dude's like just keeps walking quietly. It's so weird.
And that's what, like, and that's sad. Like, there's such an outcry for Britney Spears about what's happening to her. But the reality is we should be looking at all the stars and seeing which ones this is happening. Like, I mean, what's his name? That little kid just died recently. I call him a little kid. He was a little kid when I was growing up. He had all the face tattoos and shit.
Little kid. He's a Justin Bieber?
Yeah, but he was like Justin Bieber.
Aaron Carter.
Thank you. Aaron Carter. He was like a little hip hop kid, little pop star hip hop kid when I was like 15, 16. So it was like, I was well past that. But, you know, like he's like over there telling like, hey, this is how they treat you. This is the shit they're doing. Like, you know, I saw like a quick little snippet of an interview where he's like, hey, yeah, your parents are divorcing, getting split up right now, but you better be in this video. You better be fucking happy. It's like, wow, that's fucking terrible. That kid is not even allowed to feel his emotions.
And then he had to do MTV Cribs, and he knew he was losing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You saw that video. That
yeah, did. Yeah. He had to do MTV Cribs. Here's my drum set. That might be a dad's house. I don't know. Here's my bed. I don't know where the fuck that's going to be.
Yeah. So, all right, man. I say we end it here because there's a lot, and I know there's a lot of this stuff that we want to go into with Dan.
Yeah, dude. This is. Can't wait till Dan comes back. This was great. Let's do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for joining us. Oh, you know what? I forgot the little thing. The podcast is not how men speak, but how friends speak. Bam. Got it.